Michael Avery with Classic Business on Classic 1027.
Warwick Lucas, Chief Investment Officer at Galileo Capital, is in studio as always on a Friday evening. Warwick, sell in May and go away. Can I bore you with a bit more chappy paper bump?
Rhymes with Africa Day, go
it
for it.
Rhymes with Africa Day, and it's certainly not the way you should be tailoring an investment strategy by rhyming couplets. But basically, the phrase came about in the golden days of the stock market in London, where the phrase originally used to be sell in May and go away and come on back on St. Ledger's Day, which is a famous horse race. And the saying used to be used when London's wealthy, the noble, the bankers, and all the other prominent traders and merchants flee the city during the warmer months, and trade would dip due to less volume. And obviously, while trade action on the general market would become a bit more volatile, this also stands true for the US economy, because most Americans go off on their summer vacations around May. So sell in May, go away doesn't really work as a trading strategy. Historically, it has actually shown quite a strong correlation. But since 2010, and this is a note I got from Jordan Weir, there really hasn't been any correlation whatsoever between May and returns on the market.
Fair enough. I think if one looks at the period, May to August, on average, that certainly in the case of the US has been a zero return period historically. I mean, you actually have made all of your runnings in the rest of the year. So there is a degree of truth in that, actually.
Well, the degree in truth, I suppose the Northern Hemisphere does coincide with the summer vacation. Now, what are the markets looking like? Looking back over a week that's been very choppy, very volatile. The retailers have been in the news for all the wrong reasons. We called it Crash Mart yesterday, Mash Mart, I should have called it, having one of its worst falls in history. Bouncing back today, along with TFG and Dis-Chem and Clicks and a whole host of others. Are you reading anything into that? Was it just a bit of reversion?
Yeah, I would say just a bit of a reversion. I mean, sure, holders will, excuse me, be smarting. but my word, that was a horrific update. I mean, wow. But it tells you that just how bad that economy was in the first quarter there. I think we're going to see a bit of an improvement coming through second quarter. It's certainly been a very, very tough time for SA. I think we're getting a little bit of shock absorb relief coming through on the rand. Turning to international markets, I mean, well, I guess noisy news is becoming a new market and a new normal. So, despite restiveness in trade issues, oil, bond markets, I think there's almost a sense of insulation or getting used to it, and we're seeing that those volatilities coming down a little bit.
Yeah, the volatility number, the VIX, has been quite low, and it was, you know, what I find quite remarkable. It was just hours after U.S. President Trump axed his June summit with Kim Jong Un, and we saw North Korea unexpectedly offering an olive branch, coming out saying that they're still open to talk with Mr. Dorito. I don't know if you've seen his latest.
Yeah, I think look. I would have said if there was one guy who's got the same negotiating style as North Korea, it would be Trump, and I'm sure they're not actually liking it very much. But as they say, you know, you can't bulldaster bulldaster, and that's exactly what they found themselves up against. So, he might actually be the right president to pull it out of the bag with North Korea. So I'm not too despondent over that, and I don't think markets look like they are either.
And we saw the king dollar, because it really has all been about dollar strength over the last month or so, steady as she goes today against a basket of the major currencies ahead of that upcoming speech from Fed Chair Jerome Powell. Are we expecting anything earth-shattering from Jerome Powell? It looks set that the Reserve Bank, or should I say the Fed, under Jerome Powell, is going to take a very pragmatic approach to its rate hiking cycle, very mindful of dollar strength and its impact on emerging markets.
I think that's right. Curiously, the odds on on Fed hikes, it actually sunk quite a lot, a bit lower in the last couple of weeks. But nevertheless, that strength there. I think part of it being at signs of some resolution in trade issues. I mean, there is certainly big potentials for hydrocarbon trade between the US and China, particularly liquid natural gas. And I mean, that could close some quite big gaps. So, you know, perhaps this we can see some resolution after certainly a very volatile initiation of discussions.
Yeah, I see the T-bill, the 10-year treasury has come down below that 3% mark as well. And as you mentioned, hydrocarbons. Is the oil bull run over? That was the big story on the day, down almost over, 3.5%. We see the prospect of OPEC and Russia easing those supply curbs to counterbalance some of the falling output that we see from Venezuela, which is a massive producer. So
certainly helpful. I mean, on the one hand, we saw progress in the whole US China trade talks bolster oil, so perhaps an easing off could also be a reversion related to some North Korea nerves as well. Who knows? I mean, it does get a little bit noisy, but I mean, yeah, bearing in mind that the US is not in a position to really export oil right now. It will take more than a year before you actually get a balancing up between that Western Texas and Brent price. I mean, like we saw, there's a huge gap there between the prices because they pull it out of the ground faster than they can ship it.
Yeah. And the big question for me has also been obviously the shale producers and when we would start to see the impact of shale production on global oil markets. Do you think that's a bit of the story that is feeding into this lower oil price at the moment?
Well, I think part of it is they've also actually got to recover from the hammering they took in the last couple of years because, yes, I mean, the price might be right, but their cash flows aren't. I mean, they built up some big debts carrying their businesses through the lean times. Yeah, I mean, that was just funded straight by debt. So the cash flows have actually got a return before they're in a position to say, okay, great, well, I'm going to go invest in new capacity. So an immediate return to production, no, I don't think so. I mean, the drilling rig numbers is quite high but balanced. It's a relatively smooth chart, that looks like. So I think we'll probably see a few months where you probably could see a little bit more upside action. I think the Russians, if anything, I mean, it's not charity, that's for damn sure. I think it's more likely that they don't want a reversion of what happened in the previous cycle where the Middle East being too greedy really let the
it's always been the problem.
New capacity come on stream and conversely whip them on the way down. So
if you're a cartel, you're only as strong as your weakest member. And at these levels, you know, prices become mighty enticing to keep on pumping more oil out the ground.
Absolutely.
Now, the other big talking point in the markets at the moment, we're awaiting that ratings decision from S&P, which is reckoned it'll be around 10 o'clock our time that we'll know whether or not they are going to keep our rating on hold. The market expectation seems to be that the local currency and foreign currency ratings will remain unchanged at BB and BB plus. What are you anticipating from S&P?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, they moved early. I think they indicated though they would give SA a chance for reforms to come through. I mean, frankly, the big one we'd be watching now is the one on the other side of the junk level, and that's really Moody's. I mean, after all, they're the one between us and a really big bond sell-off. So, with appropriate respect to S&P, I guess we'll be interested to see what they say, but not quite nearly as much as Moody's in the next year ahead.
Yeah, important point that, and also I think important to watch where the Rand goes on the back of that announcement. It was slightly weaker today. I think, perhaps some traders hedging their bets a little bit. But to turn to local stocks now, I was facilitating a financial inclusion conference this week, and a few things worth noting, including how completely out of depth the new Postbank is. God help us if it gets that banking license. But Brandon Pierce of Finmark Trust painted a quite alarming picture of consumer indebtedness right in the heart of the Capitec target market. So, you know, the Viceroy smoke does worry me. And we know that management have come out and they've rebutted the recent Viceroy report. We know what the SARB has said. But surely it's time for an independent review of that debtors' book to just settle the dispute once and for all.
Well, I think a little bit of certainty would help, although I have to say, I mean, the market seems to have shrugged off pretty much most of the issues there. So, yeah, I mean, we saw another Viceroy report out there. I didn't look at it in details, but look, I mean, the results coming through are pretty untidy. We've got to say it. I mean, most of your mass consumers are not doing very well at all.
Yeah, and that comes through in the retailer numbers, and that's why they have suffered so much over the last week. There are a lot of retailers reporting next week as well. Star amongst them, and wasn't a great trading update today. It continues to have a fallout with Tacky Town founder Bram van Hastien now resigning as chairman of the property portfolio over there. So all eyes will be on those Star results on Monday. Netflix is one that really fascinates me as an offshore streaming media company that is, let's face it, not cash generative at the moment. I think it's going to have to come to the market with the rights issue sometime soon. But replace Disney with its market cap exceeding Disney, surpassing $152 billion for the first time overnight. And that is just phenomenal. No wonder MultiChoice and DStv are so concerned about Netflix over here and they want to regulate it. Typical response. What are your thoughts on Netflix?
Look, I mean, there's a lot of runway on that stock, and certainly a lot of growing those earnings are into the space. I mean, the one thing that we do know in that tech space is, well, typically we've seen your big winner usually takes all, but I question whether that's likely to be so much the media or the case in media. I think there's a lot of scope for commoditization in media at that particular point, offering streaming and so on. And I really don't see why Netflix has got to be the only option. I don't see Netflix pulling off of Facebook, to be honest.
My concern is still the fact that when it's online, it's very easy to pirate, to share, and very difficult to build a moat, as Warren Buffett would call it, around a business like that. Warwick, we've got a whole host of results coming up next week. We've got Spar, Mr. Price, Telkom, Tongaat Hewlett, Nampac, Reunert. So we really are in the heart of earnings season. So we'll be bringing listeners on Classic Business, all of those results next week. Warwick Lucas, Chief Investment Officer at Galileo Capital.